You don't want her married back to you?
Sure, we want the whole thing.
Helen Aliskowitz.
Aliskovitz. And where is she now?
She's passed away.
Passed away, okay.
Passed away at the age of 85.
Okay.
Regina Maskowitz, Maskowitz. She just reached her 90th birthday.
Oh.
She was here just a short time. She just went back on Monday.
Where does she live?
In California.
In California. Where did the first sister live?
Helen.
Helen, where did she live?
She lived in Squirrel Hill.
In Squirrel Hill, okay. Okay, then who came next?
Here comes Anne R. H-A-R-R.
Okay.
She's in California.
Okay.
And she's 89.
Is she? You have good genes. Very good genes.
Then the oldest brother is Kalman. K-A-L-M-A-N. After Kalman comes...
Is he alive?
You know, he's gone.
He's gone.
He lived to be 83.
Mm-hmm. Did you get that?
Jaime, H-Y-M-I-E. Uh-huh. He's still living. He is. He's 85 now.
Mm-hmm.
Sam?
Well, you're next, right?
No,
Sam came before you. Okay.
Sam passed away at the age of 75.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was next. Milton.
Right.
I'm 80 years of age.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. This is, I received this cap for my birthday.
It's terrific.
Back in September.
Well, get your birthday. September?
25th, 1919.
Okay.
After me comes Harry.
Okay.
Harry's a year and a half younger than I am.
Okay.
And after him, the youngest...
Does he live in Pittsburgh?
He lives in Penn Center.
Penn Center.
Penn Center. You know where that is? Went to Monroeville?
Yes, I do know where it is.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And Minnie also lives in California.
Okay.
Minnie's 77.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's everybody, right?
That's right.
Okay. Now, then you can tell us that... You took a commercial course in high school and graduated, okay?
And I was fortunate enough to get a job almost immediately. I went to work for a company known as the Ruffsdale, R-U-F-F-S-D-A-L-E. Have you ever heard of Ruffsdale, Pennsylvania?
No.
It's not far from Greensburg.
I have.
Ruffsdale Distilling Company.
Okay.
A whiskey company.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting paid $14 a week.
What did you do there?
I worked in the advertising office where I did a lot of typing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why I was able to get a job there. He's a typist.
Mm-hmm.
Of the $14, I contributed $10 to the family. Mm-hmm. And the $4 I used to buy my clothing and entertainment.
Is that right?
In those days, we went to the Bill Green's for $2.50.
Is that right?
Imagine that, we got a cup of coffee and a sandwich.
While you were at Bill Green's?
At Bill Green's, yes. $2.50 and danced to a nice orchestra.
That's a bargain. It really is a bargain. What year would this be when you were... What year did you graduate?
In 1937.
That was the heart of the Depression.
Sure.
Yeah. You were lucky to get a job that week.
That's right.
That's very good.
And I worked there until they went out of business, and that was a total of 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I went to the Westinghouse to work.
And what did you do there?
I worked in the in a generator division. I was considered a storeroom clerk.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I was a clerk, I had to do some very heavy work.
Did you?
I had to hook on for a crane, but that is, the craneman would operate the crane, and when the chains would come down, I would hook them onto the job that's to be picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were certain articles that I had to do by hand because you were in the crane.
Right.
That was the heavy work.
So you're doing heavy lifting kinds of things?
There was a certain amount of heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm.
I operated an electric truck.
Mm-hmm.
I operated that. And I, including the time that I put in the service, because that was included, it was a total of 7 years.
Okay, so you were there and then you went to the service and came back to Westinghouse to work.
That's right.
Okay.
When I realized I wasn't going to get anywhere because I had no skill, I was not an electrician, I couldn't get any of the bigger jobs,
mm-hmm.
but then I decided under the GI Bill to go to school.
Good for
so
you.
I went to Robert Morris.
Good for you.
I picked up accounting.
Did you? That's terrific.
But as luck would have it, there are no jobs to be had after I graduated.
Oh, how long did it take you to get through?
I went through the summer.
Uh-huh.
And because of that, I was through with the school in 2 years.
You were finished in 2 years. And you had a full college degree in accounting?
Right.
Okay.
Then I got a job for a company known as the Star Upholstering Company.
Uh-huh.
And I became the office manager. And I also did some selling.
Uh-huh.
You know, people would call in and ask for an estimate.
Uh-huh.
I would go to their homes and uh-huh. look over their furniture and give an estimate.
Okay, where was this company located?
In Braddock.
In Braddock. And who owned it?
People by the name of Bastacky. Bastacky.
Were they Jewish people?
Yes, they were.
It was a Jewish company.
The two brothers who owned it came from Poland.
I see.
And of course, they were fortunate enough to leave before the Holocaust.
Right, right.
They were very, very fine businessmen
mm-hmm.
because they had an operation to begin with, a two-man operation, it built up to 85 people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they were smart businessmen.
Yeah.
And they evolved. They had did something that there was in for which there was a need in Braddock. Can you tell us something about, can you maybe tell us a little bit more about Braddock as a business center, because you said that they had a very thriving...
It was second to downtown Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
We must have about 350 stores on the main avenue, Braddock Avenue.
Uh-huh.
They were beautiful stores.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pleasure to walk, take a walk on Braddock Avenue. People did that, just to look into the windows of the various stores.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We had a beautiful theater, the Capitol Theater,
mm-hmm.
that had a second and third balcony.
Mm-hmm.
Would you call that second? There was the first floor, then there was a balcony, and then one up above.
Like a mezzanine and then a balcony.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was a thriving business community.
Can you imagine that the prices were at that time, that they had amateur shows
mm-hmm.
every once in a while in the Capitol Theater.
Mm-hmm.
The first prize was $5.
And that was big money.
Yeah. Let me tell you something else I did for $5.
What else?
I happened to become, which you might say, an expert in teaching a bar mitzvah boy the main thing, which is called the mufter.
Yeah, I know.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And I used to give them the bar mitzvah boys quite a few lessons before
mm-hmm.
they were bar mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
And for all the lessons I gave them, I was very happy to get a $5 bill.
For the whole shooting match?
Yeah.
Is that right? You must be learned, it must have been learned in Hebrew.
Not to the extent that you find here in Pittsburgh, in Shrill
mm-hmm.
Hill,
mm-hmm.
where these children are really getting a wonderful education.
Mm-hmm.
You can't expect too much whenever you're going to public school, and then you go 4 days a week
mm-hmm.
for about an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I did acquire the ability to
mm-hmm.
pick up a little bit more than anybody else would.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this. I taught these bar mitzvah boys in such a way that if they were called up on a different Saturday,
mm-hmm.
that they should be able to say that mufter,
mm-hmm.
but none of them have done that. I'm the only one that can just pick up any Saturday and I could do it.
And you could do your thing.
Yeah.
Well, then you had a flair for it. You were.
Yes, sir. Yeah. See, when I started out in a choir, we had a choir.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of pictures over
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I looked like at the age of 10.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
And so you were an active participant in the community.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
Now, what you also said in your paper was that you didn't feel that the community was anti-Semitic, but you did have some problems
at the beginning, because you know how children are. I would say those that were in the age of 7, 8, 9, 10,
mm-hmm.
the Gentile children used to get together in a gang,
mm-hmm.
and we Jewish kids never got together in a gang,
mm-hmm.
and if they would see one of us walking alone, they would take advantage of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They did that at that particular age. But as time went on and they became more mature,
mm-hmm.
and we were buddies in school,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't that way.
So you didn't have any problems about that?
Not in later years.
Okay. And the only anything that you might think about as anti-Semitism in that community was that the large steel mills and factories did not employ Jewish people.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. That was so that, as you said in your paper, it inclined the Jewish people to go into business.
That's right.
Instead of trying to get jobs.
Sure.
And
I think I mentioned that about 90% of the business is run by Jewish people.
That's what you said, right? And did people come from other communities to shop there? Because that sounds
yes.
like a lot of stores for a relatively small area, 1 mile by.
Well, they came from all over.
They came from everywhere.
And the biggest night, the biggest day was Saturday.
Right.
And the sidewalks were crowded. We actually had to walk on the street.
And the Jewish people stayed open. They didn't close their stores on Shabbat.
Most of them kept the stores open.
Okay.
There were several that wouldn't keep the stores open on Saturday.
And they couldn't be open on Sunday, right?
No.
They weren't allowed to be.
That's right.
But did you have services at the synagogue on Saturday morning?
Oh, sure.
So they could go to services and then go to their businesses if they wanted to?
Yes, some of them did that.
And you also had a Friday night service?
Sure.
Okay.
Every night and every morning there were services.
Oh, they did. And they had a Friday night Sabbath service, do you know?
No extra.
No.
Nothing like that.
And you'd have a kiddush after, that kind of thing that synagogues do today. You didn't do that then?
Occasionally.
Okay.
Not all the time.
You didn't have a regular Friday night service?
No.
But you did have
it. We had it at the regular time, and it's supposed to be held at sundown.
Sundown, right.
We didn't have it later on.
Okay. And then on Saturday morning, you always had a Shabbat service?
Oh, yes.
They opened up the Ark and read from
Absolutely.
The Torah and so on.
Sure.
Okay. Well, that gives a really very lovely picture of what your life was like. Let me think. As far as contrasting Braddock with Pittsburgh, it seemed to have, I'm getting the idea from you that it held up very well as a place to live.
Yes.
Was there a feeling among the people in Braddock that they wanted to get out of Braddock?
Well, I don't think it was the factories, like the Westinghouse and the Stillmans and so on, that did Braddock in. I would have to believe it was the malls, the shopping malls.
Okay.
Because the park on Braddock Avenue was very difficult to get a parking space.
Mm-hmm.
And because you know, by that, as time went on, there were more people with automobiles.
Sure.
And they found it much better to go to the shopping malls. That's what did it. It wasn't the factories.
It was the changing in the shopping habits
sure.
of people.
Sure.
And I guess the supermarkets as opposed to the small grocery stores.
That's right.
Did the merchants who were in business in Braddock, were they the ones that also went out to the malls? Did they move their stores out?
I don't think so, because mm-hmm. most of these stores in the malls are big chains.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that so? Don't you find
well,
that
they are today. Stuff? I don't know how it was
you
then.
You don't find that the individuals own businesses there.
No, I don't think even back then.
Well, my husband was in a mall.
But I'm going to say, I don't think a lot of people, small businessmen, could afford the rent in the malls.
Is that
even
right?
Back
you mean,
then.
You don't, did they close their stores and
sure.
go out of business?
Sure
they were did. Driven out of business.
Right.
You also mentioned that many of them moved to Pittsburgh and sent their kids to college.
Right.
Well, did they live in Pittsburgh and go to Braddock to open their store?
No, when they left Braddock,
mm-hmm.
by this time they did that well,
mm-hmm.
that they were able to afford whatever it took at that time.
In other words, they moved to Pittsburgh, they sent their kids to college, but they closed their stores, they didn't keep them open, and while they were sending their kids to college.
Like,
yeah.
There were a few that did, not
some
not everybody did.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I had a friend named Phyllis Sachs. I think her father had Sachs' department store.
Sachs' lady store.
Lady store.
Lady store.
Yeah, right.
Beautiful store.
I know. It was well known. People from Pittsburgh used to go there to
Who
shop.
Else do you know from Braddock?
Pardon?
Who else do you know from Braddock?
I knew Eugene Whitner's wife, Sally.
Sally?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sally graduated with my brother.
Yes, a lovely woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And her father had a store.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Was he a retailer also?
No.
I see. Okay. Now, when you were growing up, when you were an adolescent, a teenager, you the AZA and the sports activities and were your what?
The main activities.
The main activity, right? Okay.
Of course, we had the television, so we did go to the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because after a while, the worst Sunday movies.
Right.
You know.
I guess we all love the movies, all of
sure.
us who grew up at that time. Okay, now we want to get to your courtship and marriage. We want to hear about that, about your present family.
I was not married while I was in the service.
Okay.
And
how old were you when you were in the service? I could figure it out.
22.
22, okay. And what did you do in the service?
In the service, I was in communications. I was in the Navy.
Okay, I know. I saw your uniform.
I was in the Navy, and I operated a teletype machine.
Uh-huh.
I worked along with the radio men.
Mm-hmm.
They would receive and send messages, and I operated some small coding
mm-hmm.
devices,
mm-hmm.
coding and decoding.
Where were you stationed, or where were you doing this?
Shall I start from the beginning?
Sure.
Well, I went to Great Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
I went to boot camp, and after the boot camp, I came home for what's called boot leave.
Mm-hmm.
That lasted about 13 days.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little bit disappointed because, you know, they test you while you're in boot camp as
mm-hmm.
to what you might be fitted for,
mm-hmm.
what school you should be going to. And I was disappointed that they had me in no school at all whenever I left.
Mm-hmm.
However, when I got back to the base, they had scratched out apprentice seamen, they scratched out second class seamen, they scratched out first class seamen, they made me a petty officer.
Oh, lovely.
Third class petty officer.
Good.
So the reason is because I knew how to type.
Boy.
And they put me in communications, and I was in an outfit with 125 men. This is very interesting.
We're at Great Lakes.
Great Lakes.
Right.
There are 125 men. All of us were rated, as we call it. We all were petty officers. Most of us were third class petty officers. And we went to Hawaii. It didn't take too long after we went to Hawaii and settled there. Maybe about a week later, they started to come to our outfit. They needed some signalmen in a forward area. Then they came back, they needed a couple of radiomen, radio technicians, and I was considered a yeoman. They needed some yeomen. They kept coming to our outfit and taking people from us piecemeal, sending to the forward areas, the God-forsaken places.
And this you were shipped from Chicago to the Great Lakes?
No, from Chicago we went to Oceanside, California.
Oh, okay.
And then we did get on a ship in San Diego.
Okay.
To go to Hawaii.
And you went to Hawaii. Okay.
And so this is the important thing. Out of, there was 121 men were taken from the 125, and I was one of the four that was left behind.
In Hawaii?
In Hawaii.
And you were there all through the...
As a result, no, I was there for 14 months.
Okay.
And I operated a teletype machine underneath a three-star admiral. He had his office up on the second floor.
Oh, boy.
And I was down on the first floor, together with other men, operating a teletype machine. When Japan surrendered, then they needed forces of occupation in Japan. Mm-hmm. And that's when I went to Japan.
What year were you drafted? Or what year did you enlist, I guess?
No, I was drafted.
You drafted?
In 1944.
Okay.
1944, I was discharged in 1946.
Okay.
I was in the service 2 years and 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I was in Japan for 5 months.
Oh, wow, what an experience.
If I knew that I was going to be there that long, I never expected to be there that long. If I knew I was going to be there that long, I would have applied myself and learned more of the language.
Mm-hmm.
As it was, I did learn a little bit. So you want me to show off a little bit?
Sure.
Mushi mushi kama yo, kama san yo. Seka ina uchide, o ma echida. Aya mina noro I mono ano I, to shite so na ni noro I.
Sounds like Yiddish to me.
Anyway,
what did you say?
It was, it's a story about the race between the turtle and the rabbit.
Oh, okay.
It's a song they would sing to little children.
To children.
That's what I learned. And whenever I was discharged, I came home. I went down to Kaufman's department store, and here I noticed where there was a number of showcases that were occupied by some Japanese young girls. They were dressed in kimonos,
mm-hmm.
and they're displaying all of these articles.
Mm-hmm.
I went up to them, and I said to them, Anata tahen yoi desu, means you're very pretty. Watashi wa anata suka desu, I love you very much.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
After that, I had to leave because I wouldn't be able to carry out it. And whenever I said that, I said, so.
So you were in Japan for
five months.
And then the war was over. It was over in 1945.
That's
actually,
right. Exactly.
And you had an extended tour of duty.
That's right.
Okay. And then you came home. Okay. And then what happened?
As I told you in that story, that the young Judea, they were very nice to the servicemen. They used to send us different articles of interest to all of the servicemen. They had two parties for all the returning men.
Mm-hmm.
Because not everybody came home, let's say, in the month of December.
Yeah.
And then everybody was home by the month of March.
Okay.
So they had a second party. They would put on a show for us. We had music, we had dancing, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought that all of us in the AGA would still be able to stay together.
Mm-hmm.
So we did form a Jewish war veterans that lasted a very short time because it couldn't last. And all of us, we got married.
Right.
And we scattered. We didn't stay in Braddock. It was difficult too.
Sure.
So I joined the Jewish War Veterans 299 here at Squirrel Hill.
Right.
Now, as far as about me getting married.
Right.
I was living in Braddock when I was a very close friend of one of the Asian boys from Beaver Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And for a couple of years after the service, we would double date,
mm-hmm.
and we used to see a lot of each other. And he called me this one time and he said, look, I met a girl that I think I'm going to marry,
mm-hmm.
and I'd like to have you meet her. She's from New York, but she's here in Pittsburgh now. We're going to go to a wedding at the Bet Shalom on this particular Sunday. I'd like to have you meet this girl. And in those days, you didn't have to be invited to weddings. You know about that? Because of the fact there was no sit-down dinner,
mm-hmm.
it was all buffet,
mm-hmm.
nobody had a seat to sit in. So, and there was a lot of women that would go to these affairs. They're looking for people to dance with, and a lot of the men would go uninvited, but they were welcome. They were welcome, uninvited guests in order to dance with the girls. So I had no qualms about going to be out there. And I didn't have a car. I bumped a ride with somebody who took me to Squirrel Hill. I went with Beth Sholom, and I met this fiancé. Shortly after I met them, they left. So there I was all by myself. Didn't know any of the people there. And I asked this young girl for a dance. So after the dance, she walked away. Then I went to see what's doing down at the Pulsetic. I walked down the hill to Pulsetic.
Is that where she said she was going?
No. No, I'm saying that at the dance, at the Beth Sholom, the music was playing, I asked this girl to dance.
Right.
But instead of her staying there and having a conversation with me, she walked away from me.
Okay.
So I figured, there's nothing for me here.
Right.
So I thought maybe there's something doing at the Pulsetic.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Then I walked down the Pulsetic and it was completely dark. So I decided I'm going to go home. I had to take a streetcar home.
Sure.
So I had to walk back up the hill, over to Forbes Street,
right,
take a streetcar and go home. But before going to Forbes Street, I decided to go and get a cold drink. I went back into the Beth Sholom, and I went over to get myself a drink. And lo and behold, this young girl that had walked away from me, she's standing right next to me.
Oh, it was the shirt.
so she was from Beaver Falls. And then, so we danced some more. And that was the story.
How you go. Well, what was her name?
Well, her name, maiden name is Reva, R-E-V-A, Wilkowski, W-I-L-K-O-F-S-K-Y.
Okay.
And that was the story.
And that's how you met her.
And we're married enough. It'll be in May, it'll be 52 years.
Isn't that wonderful? How long did you go together before you were married?
Approximately 5 months.
5 months. How about getting from Braddock to Beaver Falls? Was that a problem?
I took the train a few times, and a couple of times I borrowed an automobile.
Right.
You know, with all the boys in the family, there's one automobile.
Yeah, so you shared it.
Once in a while, yeah.
Right. Okay. And what did, was her family in business, and what did they do in Beaver Falls?
Well, her family was in the scrap business.
Okay.
Her father and uncles and her grandfather operated this scrap business. Her father, unfortunately, was a diabetic.
Oh.
Died at the age of 50.
Okay.
Her mother died at the age of 38.
Oh, my.
And she was raised by an aunt and uncle.
Oh, that's hard. Do you have a family? Do you have children?
Two.
Could you tell us
daughter,
about
son
your
and
kids?
A daughter. And I taught my daughter different dances whenever I went. I didn't tell you about being with Prudential.
No. Okay. All right. But so you had two children, and we'll get their names. Okay.
Yeah.
Your daughter.
When you go back to, after I left Star Upholstery.
Yes, okay. When you went to the Beth Sholom and met your wife, were you working for Star Upholstery?
No, I was going to school.
Oh, you were going to school before you were married. Okay,
right.
Okay. And then you went to work for Star Upholstery.
That's right.
Was that as a married man?
Yes.
Okay. And then you had two children?
Two children.
And their names?
Lynn, L-Y-N-N.
Good name.
And Lewis.
Okay.
L-O-U-I-S.
And where did you live?
Before the children were...
Well, when you got married, where did you live?
We lived for 2 years in an apartment on Hastings Street.
In Squirrel Hill?
Squirrel Hill.
Okay.
After the 2 years, we bought a home in Welford Street.
I know where that is.
We were there for 14 years.
Okay.
And then we bought a home on the corner of Shady and Monitor Street.
Okay.
I've been there for 29 years.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sure there's going to be 6 years that we're living in the apartment.
In the apartment, right. Okay. Is that the end of this tape? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe, would you mind?